Did you guys learn something today? Read the Bible. And there's a Bible for everyone, so there's no excuse. Praise God for that. Let's listen to the scripture from the Bible this morning, and Hero is going to read that for us as he makes his way up.
Today's scriptures is taken from Mark chapter 1, verses 32 to 39, and it reads, "That evening at sundown they brought to him all who were sick, oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to the desolate place, and then he prayed. And Simon and those who were with them searched for him. And they found him and said, 'Everyone is looking for you.' And he said to them, 'Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for this is why I came out.' And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the word of the Lord."
Good morning. Good morning. Let us pray first. Gracious and loving God, we come today, as always, to worship you and praise you, and we hear now your message through the scriptures, through the word. We ask, Lord, that these words from my mouth be acceptable in your sight, and that you know the reflections that we hold on our hearts, that they reflect your true will, your grace and mercy, and be acceptable in your sight. Amen. So I am attending a conference. It's actually starting this evening, and it's going to go till Wednesday. It's called the LEAD Conference, L-E-A-D. And my friend Rob Reinders, who's a minister from Arizona, he and a team of people put on this conference. It's supposed to be kind of a cool, innovative conference for a younger clergy who want to do new and dynamic things. And it's held every 3 years in different locations on the western states. Past conferences always start with these great events happening on Sunday evening. So one of the conferences was in Vegas. They had a mixer in the Stratosphere at the very top lounge, and the founders of Zappos.com was a guest speaker at this conference. Another time, they had the conference in San Francisco. It included a tour of the Google complex, like all the different buildings. I know, pretty cool, huh? And I guess they had, they were supposed to have Mark Zuckerberg on Skype for one of the panel discussions, but I think his wife attended instead on Skype. So they build up these conferences with all these great and amazing things happening, especially the first evening. So tonight's conference, my friend Rob and his other team of ministers that were planning it, somehow one person knew a movie producer who's producing a big movie whose name they can't for some reason reveal to us until we come tonight, who's producing a big movie that's supposed to come out in the spring, so we get like a private screening premiere tonight. And originally, the screening was supposed to be really nice in the landmark Cinemax Theater in Hollywood with hors d'oeuvres and drinks, and then we go into the screening, and the producer is supposed to be there to answer questions. And then about a month ago, my friend Rob got an email from the producer saying that he would not be able to attend because he's going to be attending the Golden Globes instead. And Rob thought, okay, that's fine. You know, we still get to see the movie. We'll still have a discussion afterwards. It's a cool private screening. And then he found out that the theater no longer wants the group there because the producer's not going to be there. So they had to find a new location. So they got a new location, and everything seemed fine. And then Rob, he's actually here now in California. He came on Wednesday with his wife and son to do some fun sightseeing before the conference started. And when he arrived on Wednesday, he found out that the new location for this private movie screening is in downtown Hollywood. And it happens to be, now remember the producer backing out because he's attending the Golden Globes, it happens to be near the Kodak Theater, wherever the Golden Globes is happening. So that means in a 4-block radius of the Golden Globes, all the streets are going to be blocked off. So So now Rob had to try to figure out on Wednesday how to get all the participants for this lead conference, I think there's about 75 of us, to this private theater when the streets are blocked off where the theater is. Rob is a perfectionist. He's a clergy person who is a type A personality and wants everything perfect and plans so well. He's been planning for this conference for over a year and a half. And on that Wednesday, he said he was thinking of all these things. He had called me and asked if I knew of some other options because he knew I used to be at Hollywood United Methodist Church. And he says he's afraid of disappointing the conference attendees. He's mad at himself for not planning options A, B, and C in case the movie thing didn't work out. He's afraid of failing, of having this be the worst conference ever. He's being very hard on himself. And then he said when he was meeting with the pastor at Westwood United Methodist Church where the opening worship service is going to be, and that's when he found out about the street closures, he decided to go use the restroom. Now, if you've ever been to Westwood United Methodist Church, it's a large church with lots of money. So their restrooms are not like our restroom, and I love our restrooms, but their restrooms are like hotel restrooms. I've only been in the women's ones, but it's got, you know, 8 stalls, marble sinks, automatic water dispensers, beautiful glass and tile, like mosaic tiles. It's beautiful, the women's restroom. So Rob said he went to the men's restroom, and I imagine it's just as nice. And he said he stayed in the men's restroom, and he just prayed. And he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. He prayed for God's guidance. He prayed for God to pop into his head alternative things to do. He prayed for the anxiety to go away. He prayed for his fears of failures to leave him. And he said he had an epiphany that he heard God telling him things are going to be okay. And he came out of the men's restroom, told the rest of the clergy planning team, let's just take the day off. And Rob went to Disneyland with his wife and son. I told Rob that he was holding space for himself. So if you know, last week I talked to us about holding space and what it means to hold space. I invite you now to take your worship bulletin out and look again at the writing about what it means to hold space for someone else. And if you see, it reads, holding space means that you are willing to walk alongside another person in whatever journey they're on. We do so without judging them, without making them feel inadequate, without trying to fix them or trying to impact the outcome. When we hold space for others, we open our hearts, we offer unconditional love, we learn more about themselves and ourselves, and most importantly, we support their faith journey. I want us to hold space for other persons. I even know of 1, 2, maybe even 3 persons that I want to hold space for. People who do not yet have God in their lives, a relationship with Christ that is so important. But I think before we can think about holding space for others, and I'm sure we all have someone, a friend, a family member, a coworker, I know there is someone that we all have to hold space for. We must first think about holding space for ourselves, to be spiritually healthy, to have a faith, a strong relationship with God, and to walk with Christ. So we have to walk on our own faith journey. We have to not judge ourselves harshly. We have to not try to fix or impact an outcome, to put things in God's hands instead. We have to open our hearts to all the possibilities that God puts in our lives to accept unconditional love. We have to learn more about ourselves and to support ourselves in a faith journey. It's nice that Gail reminded us, or the children in children's time, about the importance of reading scripture. The Bible is one way that we can hold space for ourselves. And we know prayer is another way that we can hold space for ourselves, as my friend Rob did in the men's restroom at Westwood United Methodist Church. But it is so important to hold space for ourselves. We were reminded of this in Scripture. In the Scriptures alone, we see Jesus many times going off, whether to a mountaintop by the side of the sea or on a boat, to hold space for himself, to pray, to be alone with God, to take away the judgments, the fears, the insecurities, as Jesus did as he held space for himself. Now, sometimes people ask me, let me know more about Jesus. What can you tell me that Jesus did? And I love saying, go to Mark 1 and read just that first chapter of Mark. Everyone, mostly everyone, I should say, knows about Jesus' birth story. My Buddhist cousin knows about the nativity scene and all that happened. Little kids on playgrounds will know, oh, Jesus was born in a manger. Everyone knows that part of Jesus' life. But if you want to look at a great example of Jesus' life as an adult when he began his ministry, I encourage all to read Mark chapter 1. For we see in Mark chapter 1, many things happens to Jesus. He gets baptized. He heals people. He takes demons out of those who are possessed. He also takes time to pray for himself. I kind of like to look at Mark chapter 1 where there's this thing called like a bookend thing happening. The very first thing, one of the first things that happens to Jesus in Mark chapter 1 is he is baptized. We know that baptism is a thing that we have all, hopefully all of us, have experienced. It's a human thing that we do to draw closer to God. And then we also know that in Mark chapter 1, towards the end of the chapter, a bookend thing, Jesus does another human thing. He goes off to pray silently for himself. We know that Jesus throughout Mark does many things after he is baptized. He calls the disciples. He goes to the sick and those who are possessed. Takes illnesses out of people. It says the whole city gathered around the door of the home that Jesus was at, and he cured many who were sick. He took the diseases away. He cast out the demons. He did all these inhuman things. We know that Jesus does many amazing things, inhuman things. He performs miracles. He heals lepers. He raises people, yes, raises people from the dead. He walks on water, all inhumanly possible things. I don't know about you, but I've never seen another human being walk on water. And I've never seen another being just heal a person by their touch. Jesus did all these wonderful things, but we also know he did many human things. To remind us that he was God in human form. So Jesus got baptized. Jesus took time to go and pray. And Jesus, when he was nailed on the cross, he bled, a very human thing for us. We know that Jesus, after doing all these amazing things, he probably was tired. So we know that in Mark 1, chapter 35, that the next day in the morning, it says that while it was still very dark, Jesus got up, he went to a deserted place, and there he prayed. How beautiful is that? Jesus got up, he went to a deserted place, and there he prayed. I once saw a quote that I like, and I'm not sure who said it, but it says, "In the stillness of faith, God comes." I like to think that Jesus was holding space for himself, taking away judgment, taking away insecurities, not trying to make a certain outcome happen, but just getting up in the darkness, going to a deserted place and praying. And in the stillness, God came. We know later that Simon and the other disciples, they get up and they hunt for Jesus. And when they find him, they say, "Everyone, Jesus, everyone is searching for you." And Jesus answers, "Let us go on to neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message that there for all that is to come to do." And they went out to Galilee, it says in the scripture, proclaiming the message in the synagogue and casting out demons. How wonderful it is to see that after Jesus held space for himself, took time to pray to God, didn't worry about all the demands that they had on him, that he came back saying, "Let's go to these towns, let's deliver this message, let's share good news." So when you hold space for yourself, then, and only then, I believe, are you ready to go out and be in ministry with others. John Wesley calls being in prayer, having a strong relationship with God, and loving God first with all your heart, mind, and soul, he calls it Christian perfection. He says that we as Christians, John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, says that we as Christians must be striving towards Christian perfection. We must be going onwards towards Christian perfection. Christian perfection, though, we must not confuse it with our idea of human perfection. Human perfection is that idea that everyone looks perfectly, everyone has this wonderful house, everyone has this great job. If you turn on the TV and watch, 10 TV commercials in a row, I bet they're all showing sort of perfect lives where the person who's very well-dressed gets out of the nice car and goes to the nice home. or the house mother has this perfect hairdo and perfect outfit on, and she's using a bottle of Mr. Clean in her perfectly clean house. We have all these sort of ideas of human perfection. If you go to the malls, all the mannequins in the store show the great clothes, all the restaurants show displays of perfect-looking food. We sort of live in a society or a world that puts this idea of human perfection up first. But John Wesley reminds us that it is not human perfections that we must strive for, but instead it is Christian perfection. We know that when Adam and Eve were created in the image of God, they received all these wonderful things. God created human beings, and he created animals, and he looked at everything on the sixth day and said, all is good. They received the seal of approval from God. They were good and perfect in God's eyes. And we know that Adam and Eve then were given dominion over the earth, the animals on the earth. They were given care of the planet. And Adam and Eve were also given free will as they were made in the image of God. But then what happened? We know that Adam and Eve failed because they were not perfect in a way that they did not love God. They did not put God first, but instead fell to sin, were tempted by the devil, and succumbed to sin. They were not Christian perfection. They were not perfect that way in God's eyes. They were a human type of perfect. So then when Christ died on the cross for us, when he did a very human thing, bled on the cross, suffered on the cross, took his last breath on the cross, he did a thing for us that washes away our sins, and that we must instead not seek human perfection, because I've never met a human being who is perfect, but he then instead taught us about Christian perfection. So when John Wesley says we must all be disciples seeking Christian perfection, moving onwards towards Christian perfection, he talks about being a disciple who has been baptized with the Holy Spirit, who has the blessing of Christ in our hearts, who does works of grace because we love God and Christ so much, to be born again, renewed in Christ's love. These are all the ways that we can be Christian perfection. Christian perfection, to John Wesley, says is a purity of intention, dedicating all parts of our life to God, to the mind which is in Christ, and enables us to walk with Christ. What a wonderful thing to live up to. We don't have to worry about living up to being the perfect weight or the perfect height or having the perfect job or being that human idea of perfectness, but instead live up to Christian perfectness, which is having a pure intention to dedicate our whole life to God and to be able to walk with Christ. I think when we talk about holding space, we want to seek these things instead, and then we can be a Christian perfectionist. And then when we do those things, we don't worry that we're not living up to certain standards. We don't let the worries of our job hold us down. We don't worry that we're not helping the church even enough. We don't worry that we're letting our family down as well by our actions. But instead, the thing we put first and foremost that we need to worry about is how faithful we are to God. So then when you talk about holding space for yourself, it seems that you are willing to walk with yourself on a faith journey. You are willing to not judge yourself. You are willing to not feel inadequate or trying to impact or fix outcomes. We put all these things in God's hands, knowing that, yes, we can be our harshest critics, but we must not do that to ourselves. As long as we try, as long as we put God first, as long as we follow Jesus Christ, then we are okay. I ask you all to hold space for yourself, to not worry, to not judge, to not try to fix things, but hold space for yourself first, to open your hearts, to accept unconditional love, to learn more about yourself and your relationship with God, and to continue to be on a faith journey with Christ. We know that Christ was so intentional about holding space for himself that in this morning's passage we see from Mark 1:35, in the morning when it was dark, he got up, he went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. In the stillness of faith, God was present. I believe this passage is so important, and when you look at Scripture, there are many examples of this. For when Jesus took time to hold space, what happened after that was amazing. He and the other disciples then went to other towns and began to minister to other people. When he held space for himself, it fortified himself. He accepted the unconditional love. He grew stronger in his relationship with God and was able to do more ministry. Throughout the scriptures, there are other examples of these. When Jesus goes on a boat and tries to pray alone, then afterwards more miracles are performed. And even before Jesus was arrested and we knew what was to come after his arrest, Jesus took time to hold space, to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane before his arrest, to pray to God and say to God, I trust you, Lord. I put these things into your hands. He didn't worry about what he had done in his ministry. He didn't judge himself if he had failed or not succeeded. He didn't think about the other disciples and other people that had been relying on him, his mother, his brother, and others who followed him. Jesus just prayed to God, accepted God's love, and held space for himself. So I encourage us all to think about holding space for ourselves, whether it's in prayer, in reading scripture, in being with church family. We all are encouraged to hold space for ourselves, because then we are able to hold space for others. Let us pray. Loving God, we come before you